Testivity Audio Course Series 65, Module 24, SEC and FINRA Regulations.
The Securities Act of 1933 regulates the primary market, where new securities are offered by the issuer to the general public. The Act of 1933 established the prospectus requirement. The prospectus is designed to provide full and fair disclosure of all material facts related to a new issue and must be updated at least every 13 months, while the prospectus must be delivered no later than with the confirmation of a primary market purchase transaction. The statement of additional information need only be delivered upon request. The statement of additional information is a document that provides a more detailed description of the fund and includes the fund's annual financial statements. The Securities Act of 1934 regulates the secondary market, the OTC, and exchanges. This act defined the capacity of a broker-dealer and registered representative. When a broker-dealer buys or sells securities for the benefit of others, it is acting as a broker in an agency transaction and charges a commission for its services. When a broker-dealer buys or sells securities for its own account or fills a client's order from inventory, it is acting as a dealer in a principal transaction and charges a markup or markdown for its services. It would be unethical for a broker-dealer to charge both a commission and a markup in the same transaction. The person representing the broker-dealer is known as an agent or registered representative and must register with the SEC. To become registered, an agent must pass a required examination, submit an application, known as Form U-4, and a fingerprint card, pay a fee, and consent to service of process. The agent's signature on the consent to service of process form authorizes the SEC or State Securities Administrator to receive legal documentation on behalf of the agent. When a registered representative terminates employment with a broker-dealer, it is the responsibility of both the registered representative and the broker-dealer to notify FINRA within 30 days. Notification is made by signing and filing Form U-5. The following may statutorily disqualify a person from becoming registered: felony conviction within the last 10 years, securities-related misdemeanor conviction within the last 10 years, willful violation of securities law, court injunction, or expulsion or suspension from a self-regulatory organization. Employees of broker-dealers who are not licensed do not participate in the solicitation process and do not receive commissions are not required to become registered, nor are officers of broker-dealers with no direct supervision over agents. Broker-dealers must designate a physical location as the Office of Supervisory Jurisdiction, or OSJ, where the registered principal is located and the required records are maintained. The retention requirement for a broker-dealer's required records is 3 years. Required records may be retained electronically if a backup copy is retained at a different location and hard copies can be printed upon request. The principal of a broker-dealer has regulatory supervision over the broker-dealer's agents and over all branch offices. In addition to handling complaints and approving new accounts, the principal reviews and approves all transactions, wire orders, advertising material, sales literature, etc. The Securities Act of 1938, or Maloney Act, established the National Association of Securities Dealers, or NASD, to adopt, administer, and enforce securities law. The NASD was a self-regulatory organization, or SRO, which merged with the regulatory arm of the New York Stock Exchange to form FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. The Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board, or MSRB, is another self-regulatory organization. To become registered, a broker-dealer must join one or more SRO. The Act of 1939, or Trust Indenture Act, regulates corporate debt offerings in excess of $5 million. The Investment Company Act of 1940 regulates companies investing in securities for the benefit of their clients. This act defined an investment company to include face amount certificate companies, unit investment trusts, and management companies, or mutual funds. The Investment Advisor Act of 1940 defines an investment advisor as any person who offers investment advice or recommendations, or prepares research reports for compensation. This act requires anyone meeting the definition to register with the state or SEC as an investment advisor. This act also excludes certain persons from the definition of investment advisor. Lawyers, accountants, teachers, and engineers are specifically identified as being exempt from registration, providing the advice is incidental to their profession and no separate fee is charged. Investment advisors with over $30 million in assets under management are federally covered and must register with the SEC. Advisors with less than $25 million under management are state covered and must register with the state securities administrator. If an advisor has between $25 million and $30 million under management, it may choose with whom to register. People associated with investment advisors must register as investment advisor representatives, or IARs. In 1970, Congress passed the Securities Investor Protection Act to protect investors from the financial consequences of their broker-dealer becoming insolvent. The act created the SIPC, or Securities Investor Protection Corp, which covers each individual investor to a maximum of $500,000. However, cash balances are covered to a maximum of $100,000. SIPC coverage only insures against a broker-dealer becoming insolvent. SIPC coverage does not protect investors from losses due to market fluctuation, theft, embezzlement, etc. SIPC coverage is specific to broker-dealers. A direct investment with an investment company, bank, or insurance company has no SIPC coverage. The Insider Trading and Securities Fraud Enforcement Act of 1988 prohibits the misuse of inside information. Information is considered inside information if it is both material and non-public. If a registered representative comes into possession of inside information, he or she should immediately inform his or her supervisor. Anyone who misuses inside information may be subject to criminal penalties, including up to 10 years in prison and monetary fines of $1 million or 300% of profit made or loss avoided, whichever is greater. The SEC extends the same liability to contemporaneous traders for insider trading. If you are in possession of inside information and don't use it yourself, but pass it along to somebody who does use it, you are just as guilty as they are. The Bank Secrecy Act requires currency transaction reports, or CTR, be filed with the IRS each time a broker-dealer facilitates a cash transaction in excess of $10,000 or a wire transaction in excess of $3,000. Disguising financial assets so they can be utilized without detecting the illegal activity that produced them is known as money laundering. FINRA requires that all broker-dealers establish, maintain, and enforce written procedures designed to adequately prevent money laundering and the misuse of inside information. Further, the broker-dealer must appoint an individual responsible for implementing and monitoring such procedures and must provide ongoing training for associated persons. The firm requirement for continuing education is 10 hours per year, and the regulatory requirement is to complete required continuing education within 120 days of a licensee's two-year anniversary of registration and every 3 years thereafter. Historically, anti-money laundering rules were more concerned with where the money came from than where it was going. After the September 11, 2001 attacks, the Patriot Act was drafted, which focuses more on the destination rather than the origination of funds. The Patriot Act created the Consumer Identification Program, which requires broker-dealers to file a Suspicious Activity Report, or SAR, for any financial transaction less than $5,000, which serves no apparent purpose. It may also be appropriate to file a SAR if the client seems unconcerned about suitability. Client has no clear investment objectives. Client has no concern about the amount of commissions being charged. Client conducts multiple transactions for low dollar amounts, unusual wire transfers, or client seems uninterested in products or services that may be more appropriate. Under Regulation SP, the Graham-Leach-Bliley, or Privacy of Consumer Financial Information Act, broker-dealers may not share non-public personal information of customers with non-affiliated third parties unless the broker-dealer provides notice of its privacy policies and practices, the broker-dealer provides customers with the ability to opt out of the sharing, and the customers do not elect to opt out. Requests by customers to opt out must be honored as soon as reasonably possible. Broker-dealers must provide consumers an initial privacy notice no later than the time a customer relationship is established and annually thereafter. Privacy notices may be included with a statement or annual report to shareholders. Broker-dealers are not required to provide more than one notice to joint account holders. Telemarketing. Unsolicited sales calls must be made in accordance with the following provisions. No call may be placed outside the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. local time where the call is received. The sales nature of the call must be disclosed and the nature of the products and services being offered must be disclosed. And the caller must identify themselves and the broker-dealer they represent.